Graphic Audio, a movie in your mind.
Graphic Audio presents The Nuclear Bombshell Series by John Zacor. Narrated by Richard Rowan. With performances by David Coyne, Julianne Elliott, Eva Wilhelm, Elizabeth Demery, Margie Tompros, Julie Roundtree, Elizabeth Jernigan, Nora Ashradi, Yasmin Toison, Ken Jackson, Kimberly Gilbert, Nanette Savard, Colleen Delaney, Tracy Lynn Oliveira, Sherry Berg, Casey Platt, Danny Gavigan, Bradley Smith, Nathaniel Perry, Tim Pabone, Mort Shelby, and Terrence Azelford. The Sapphire Sirens.
I am Zachary Nixon Johnson. I am the last freelance PI on Earth. It can be a tough job, it can be a dirty job, but it's a job somebody has to do. Might as well be me. I was sitting in my office on New Frisco Bay watching the world go by. When you're the last freelance PI in the world, you often have the time on your hands to do nothing. And when you watch the world stroll past, it's via holographic projection from your outside security. When you're me, office windows are a risk. You never know who may want to take an easy shot. That's why I cherish the quiet times. While they may not be the stuff great adventures are made of, they let me recharge for the more interesting times. It had been a while since I had a big case, but that was okay by me. I knew my history, and it was bound to repeat itself. Once a year or so, whether or not I'm ready, whether or not I wanted to, the world comes knocking at my door, needing me to save it. I'm not sure why the universe always drops its troubles off at my doorstep. I'm just a slightly above the curve Joe, who happens to be as unrelenting as a door-to-door virtual encyclopedia salesman trying to make his quota on the last day of the month. Some folks call my dogged perseverance a flaw. Others say it's my strongest trait. I don't really know what to think. I do what I have to do to get the job done. My techniques may not always be smooth or by the book, but hey, the book is boring.
Oh, Zach, you're contemplating your place in the world again, aren't you?
Nope, not at all, Harv.
Zach, I'm connected to your brain. I know when you're lying. You see, when you are lying, certain regions of the brain become more active. For instance...
Yes, I was thinking about it.
That's okay, Mr. Zach. One of the things I like best about you is how you look at the big picture.
I popped Gus from up my sleeve into my hand. Sure, I could have talked to him through my neural link via Harv, but I prefer to look at him directly when we talked. I like looking at what I'm talking with, even if in this case the other end of the conversation was a long plastic-looking cylinder. Thank you, Gus. Harv rolled his eyes. I wasn't sure if he was rolling them at me, at Gus, or at both of us. As you can see, the machines and cognitive processors in my life are far from run-of-the-mill, even for the 2070s. Before I could contemplate all the complicated machines that had become too much a part of my life for too long, my assistant Carol strutted into my office. This was a nice change, as Carol was much easier on the eyes than Harv or Gus. What's up, Carol?
I'm picking up some weird vibes coming this way.
Can you be more specific? She shook her head, tossing her long blonde hair over her shoulders.
Not much.
Carol's chest rose and then slowly fell as she took a breath. Not only was she a world-class psi, she was also a world-class beauty.
Dr. Electra Guevara ring any bells for you?
I refused to dignify that remark with a response. Instead, I remained concentrated on Carol. Anything is better than nothing, Carol.
I just keep picking up, I will convince him, I will convince him, and I will convince him.
Her eyes opened wide.
I must say, Carol does have the most beautiful green eyes. I don't ever wish I were human, but if I were...
Don't even think about going there, Harv.
Yeah, that's how beautiful Carol is. Even a mega ultra-advanced holographic cognitive processor notices. So, these thoughts are coming our way? Carol nodded. Let's meet and greet them in your reception area. We walked out of my office and into Carol's work area. How close are they?
Very close.
It was a good sign that they were knocking. Very few actual killers knock before they burst into the room. At least, none of the good ones do.
I am accessing the security cameras now.
The holographic image of a short but pleasant enough-looking black woman appeared. She was standing outside my office door. Behind her were two men, and I use the word loosely. One of them was big and thick, well over 2.5 meters tall, and a simple glance could tell you that he never got shortchanged at a meal. His skin had a weird, barf greenish tint to it. I figured he was a mutant. He looked about the right age. The other was short, stocky, and stiff, and his skin had an orange, metallic look to it. Together, these facts tipped me off that he was an android.
Can you identify her?
Of course.
And she is?
Her name is Lemmy Graybow. She is an employee of Entercore. She's a lawyer and head of their sequential art purchasing department.
Well, that would explain the chaotic thoughts and the backup bodyguards. Wait, sequential art?
I believe the term in the popular vernacular is comic.
I know that.
I didn't.
Me either.
What do they want with me?
I suggest you open the door and ask.
I knew that Harv knew something he wasn't telling me. He has a giveaway when he can't look me in the eyes. It's very human-like, almost too human-like. Experience had taught me that it would be far easier to ask Lemmy and her friends than it would have been to drag the words out of Harv. Let him in. Realizing I still had Gus in my hand, I put him back in his holster. Lemmy entered the building, followed by the mutant and the android. To others, this might have been strange. To me, it was just another day at the office. Lemmy Graybow walked up to me, head high, hand extended.
Mr. Johnson, it is a pleasure to meet you.
Please, call me Zach.
I shook her hand.
I'm not sure I can do that.
Try.
Okay, Mr. John... Zach...
See, that wasn't so hard.
No, I guess not. I am sure you have had your computer scan me, so I'm sure that you know that I'm from Entercore.
She touched the diamond-like peapod she was wearing on her ear. A holographic business card appeared in front of my face.
Let me see Graybow, J.D., Entercorp. Wow. Most of the lawyers I meet these days call themselves greeting card salesmen.
Yes, I know. Some of my brothers in the field are still uneasy in public, but it has been decades since the great lawyer purge. Now that our number have been thinned and we are so heavily regulated, I believe people are more accepting of us again.
Perhaps.
But enough about me. I have come here to make you an offer.
Me?
An offer you can't refuse.
I turned my head slightly to look at the hulking mutant in the back.
I knew you could talk. Your mother must be very proud.
Okay, it probably wasn't the best move, egging on an overgrown mutant muscle man, but I don't like being told what I can and can't refuse. The big guy's skin tone changed from greenish to bright red. He moved past Lemmy to the forefront, blocking her from my view.
Now, Hans, our boss wants us to handle Mr. Johnson, Zach, with care and compassion.
So I'll be careful not to kill him. He'll be much more amenable to our deal after I soften him up some. Literally.
Listen, buddy. Do what your keeper says and back off before I forget my manners.
I stepped toward Hans and gave him a little friendly shove to the side.
So what's this all about?
Interestingly enough, Hans didn't come after me. He was indeed smarter than he looked. That could be good, that could be bad, or it could be mega bad. Time would tell, and it wouldn't be much time.
We want to make you an offer.
What sort of offer?
On your graphic novel series.
I don't have a graphic novel.
Yes, you do.
Excuse me?
The graphic novel about your life that you write, draw, and publish on itsamazingimstillbreathing.com.
There is also an alternate site name, AISB2071.com.
Excuse me again?
For such a creative writer, I'm a bit surprised you are so redundant.
Let me jog his memory some.
I didn't even have to look to know he was coming after me. I felt a hand come down on my shoulder. Before I knew it, I found myself in the wall. If my underwear wasn't reinforced with nanomesh armor, I would have taken some damage. Instead, the initial attack had only hurt my ego a bit. Of course, Hans was bearing down on me, hoping to hurt me a lot more.
Sorry, Dio. I can't stop him. He must be wearing a psi blocker.
Hans, you know the boss wanted us to be civilized first. D4Q1, can you stop him?
You know how he gets.
I tried pushing myself off from the wall, but Hans leapt over Carol's desk, grabbed my throat, and pinned me back to the wall before I got too far.
You know, you find yourself in this situation an awful lot.
A little mind bender won't work on me.
Hans pointed to his brain with his free hand.
They made me immune to mind tricks.
Hans was fairly intelligent and way strong, but that had made him cocky, and that was something I could use to my advantage.
Gus, I'm gonna pop you into my hand in a second.
I'm ready when you are, Mr. Zed. Do you want me to blast him in half?
No, I don't want you to fire at all. I'll ram you into his solar plexus. Harv, I'm gonna need a speed boost, too.
How did you ever do this job before me?
I moved my wrist in just the way that pops Gus into my hand. At the same time, though, I flung my fist forward fast, really fast. My punch buckled him over, not giving him any chance to recover. I need him in the groin. I looked at Lemmy and her android backup. Now, are we gonna talk or fight?
Sorry about him. He's non-union and a bit of a hothead.
I guess that means we talk.
Our boss insists that we buy rights to your comics from you.
It's a graphic novel.
Whatever. She wants it.
Who's she?
I am not at liberty to say.
Let me guess. It's Thria Thompson.
Well, how?
She's the only one weird enough to want to do that. The temperature in the room started to rise. Looking up, we all saw a familiar energy bubble appear. It was all too familiar. I recognized it as a personal teleporter. There before us stood Thria Thompson in all her glory. She was over 2 meters tall, with more curves than you'd find on a really long geometry test. She was naked, with only her long golden blonde hair curling down over her body, covering her ample breasts and other personal areas.
Zach, long time no see.
To say that Thria Thompson dominates a room is like saying I've been known to brawl on occasion. Carol, Hans, and Lemmy were all sitting on the floor, legs extended, sucking their thumbs, totally mesmerized by her presence. Thria gave them each a little dismissive pat on the head as she walked past them to me. Truthfully, I was surprised not to be stunned by Thria's abundant physical and mental charms as well. Maybe my previous exposure to her was making me immune.
I'm blurring the image of her and dampening your sense of smell. That's what's keeping you from purring at her feet.
So, Thria, you've taken over your sister's company?
Yes. Despite my duties as a former leader on the World Council and queen of my own realm, I thought it fitting that I continue for my poor sister Ona. It was the least I could do.
Plus, EnterCorp turns a 4 billion credit profit a quarter.
Thria turned and glared at the droid.
I did not ask you for your input, machine.
Before my eyes, the android melted into a pool of goo.
Well, ex-machine now.
Ooh, I am glad I didn't correct him and tell her it's a 4.1 billion credit profit.
Thria held out her hand, and I kissed it. Better her hand now by choice than her feet later. Believe me, I've dealt with Thria enough to know what was coming if I didn't cooperate.
Zach, I've read your comic.
Graphic novel.
Graphic novel, and I loved it. I want to buy it for my little company. Name your price, and if it's reasonable, it's yours. Of course, if it's not reasonable, you will become my lapdog's lapdog.
Thria, I've no idea what you or anybody else is talking about.
Oh, don't play coy with me, Zach. I invented coy. Okay, I didn't invent it, but I copyrighted it.
Thria, I really have no idea. You've known me long enough to know I'm telling the truth.
Really?
Really.
How strange.
She motioned to Lemmy, who was still sitting contently on the floor, sucking away.
Show Zach the comic.
Lemmy touched her peapod with a hand she wasn't sucking the thumb of. An illustration of me, Harv, and Carol appeared. Well, at least an artist's rendition of what Harv, Carol, and I would look like if we were comic book heroes. I was still me, with my strong jaw, my Roman nose that's been broken at least 2 times too many, and my dark hair with just a touch of distinguished gray. But I was also much more buff than I am in real life. I'm a tough guy who can take a punch, you've got to be when you're me, but I'm not nearly as chiseled from new improved granite as this image of me was. The image of Carol looked pretty much like Carol really does. After all, no artist can improve on nature's best work. About the only noticeable change was that as drawn, her bra size was probably 1 size greater than the actual Carol's. Her dress was cut higher and her blouse unbuttoned lower than I, or her Aunt Electra, the love of my life, would allow in the office. As for Harv, he still had his snobbish British butler look, only this butler looked like he worked out in the gym 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. Harv likes to present himself as balding with a touch of gray on the sides, but this Harv had a full crop of jet black hair on top of his head. and a dark handlebar mustache under his nose that helped accent the goatee on his chin.
The Adventures of Zachary Nixon Johnson, PI4, $$$. I guess that's cash. Written, illustrated, colored, and inked by Zachary H. Johnson. Wait a minute. H? Harv, you know more about this than you're letting on.
Harv looked down, but he couldn't conceal the smile on his face.
Perhaps.
Harv, you're gonna need to elaborate.
Harv stood there silently, hands behind his back, letting us stew in our own anticipation. It couldn't have been what it looked like it was gonna be. Yeah, I know that was a confusing statement, especially coming from a PI, but look, this was an extra confusing time.
Well...
spit it out!
Ugh, you don't mean that literally, do you?
Tell us now, or so help me, I will generate so much heat, I will melt your holographic image.
To generate that much energy, you would wilt a good portion of the province of New California.
I am quite willing to risk it. Sometimes you need to crack a few eggs to make a holographic image talk.
Harv stuck a finger in his collar and loosened it.
I did it.
You did it?
Yes, I wrote, drew, lettered, inked, and marketed the entire thing.
But you're a machine.
So are you. You just happen to be an organic one.
Touché. So this is all your creative effort?
Harv simply smiled and nodded. To prove that the work was indeed his, he held his finger out in front of him. Using it as a paintbrush, he started to draw a 2D holographic image. Starting from the top, the image took shape. A shapely shape. He was drawing a comic book version of Thria. Until that moment, I didn't think it was possible to make Thria any more over the top than she already was, but he did it. He managed to make her lips fuller and her body rounder, yet not too much rounder, making a sexy pseudo-goddess even more alluring.
I'm impressed.
I found I needed an outlet for my creative urges. Comics seem to be the perfect medium. Plus, the ad revenue makes us both some nice extra cash.
Us both?
Since, like it or not, you are the inspiration, I give you 20%.
I wasn't surprised at all by Harv's business sense, but his creativity, that was a whole new ballgame. Still, I was pleased to see him growing. At least, I was pretty sure I was pleased.
Wow!
I looked over to see that Carol had somehow snapped out of Thria's induced stupor.
Nice art!
Thank you. The art was easy, and the plotting was easy as well. I find writing the dialogue to be the hardest part, though. Much of what Zach actually says is too far out there, even for the funny books.
You captured the real me.
I will include you in the next issue. I plan to publish weekly. Being an ultra-mega-super-intelligent cognitive processor and holographic interface, I could, of course, produce more material at a greater frequency, but I don't want to flood the market. I like my readers to salivate some.
Name your price. I want all rights. I will, of course, give you a generous percentage of future profits from other media.
Harv shook his head no. Carol and I each took a step away from Harv.
Sorry, Thria. This is my baby, my creation, my outlet. For now, I want all, no, I need all control. It's not for sale.
Thria pointed at Carol and me.
What if I wilt them if you don't agree?
Harv stood steady.
Hey!
Carol started moving toward Thria.
I don't wilt easy. I went toe-to-toe with your sister Tua last year.
Perhaps, but my sister and I both learned a lot from our encounter with that Natasha girl last year. It taught me to embrace my true power.
How's Tua doing these days?
She's in the monastery now. She's making quilts. Lots and lots of quilts.
I didn't think there were any monasteries left.
Oh, there weren't. She started her own. The Sacred Order of Women Who Want to Find Themselves and Not Wear Any Makeup.
Oh.
She is very happy there. Now, no more trying to get me off track. So, Harv, name your price.
Sorry, my art and talent are not for sale. At least not until I decide to sell out in a few years.
Don't forget, I threatened to wilt these two.
At my core processor, I am basically a fancy electronic filing cabinet. I have billions of gigabytes of storage. I never forget anything.
Thria stood there, first looking at Harv, then glancing at Carol and me. Carol had taken a defensive position, but I knew better. If Thria really wanted to wilt us, we would have been dust in the Vacubot's filter by now. She was bluffing. Thria may be a lot of things, a lot of really bizarre things, but she isn't a cold-blooded killer. She's proven that on many occasions. If you got her angry enough, she might rearrange your molecules and turn you into a plant, but even then, she would water you every day until she decided to put you back the way you were.
Good enough.
She held out a hand to Harv.
As long as you promise me an exclusive when you do decide to sell.
Harv extended his arm across the room to shake Thria's hand.
Deal.
Thria smiled and then was gone, along with her employees. Harv, how come you never told me about this little side project of yours?
Zach, I do a billion things at once. I can't tell you about all of them.
Yeah, but you can tell me about the ones that star me.
I didn't want anybody to know. If word gets out that this is written by a non-organic being, half of the world will read it just because of that. Of course, the other half of the world won't read it because of that. I want the material to live or die on its own merit.
Fair enough.
Kara looked at our images on the east sidewall screen.
Wow. If my breasts really were that big, I'd have to use my TK powers to hold them up.
Zach, you have a call coming in.
From who?
Dr. Poole.
Dr. Randy Poole is my mad scientist friend who created Harv. This call couldn't be a coincidence.
Put him through. Hi, Randy. To what do I owe the pleasure?
Thria Thompson just called me.
Really?
Well, not Thria at first. It was her lawyer's lawyer, then her lawyer, then after I agreed I wouldn't sue her over anything she said, Thria herself.
So what did Thria want?
She asked me how much it would cost to build another Harv.
But I am a unique, self-aware, self-sustaining, and self-growing being. I can't be duplicated.
I told her that. So then she asked how much it would cost to create another cognitive processor like Harv.
So what did you tell her?
I told her Harv was a unique byproduct of electronic, optical, and organic technologies. Then I did what any good scientist would do. I made up a ridiculously high number and told her it would take 2 years and a large advance.
I take it she agreed.
In less than a nano. So I had to ask her why she was so anxious to have something like Harv. Then she told me Harv is creating and drawing comics.
Yeah, is that good or bad?
Silly layman. This is incredible. I always hoped Harv would break the creativity barrier. He didn't just break it. He shattered it. I should be able to get a bookload of publications out of this.
Dr. Poole, I would prefer to remain anonymous as the author for the time being.
Why?
So fame doesn't interfere with my creative flow.
But what about my fame?
You will still get the boatloads of cash from Thria.
Yes, I will, won't I? I can certainly live with that, at least for now.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Dr. Poole.
I do too.
I still haven't quite forgiven you for stealing some of my DNA and creating a super sai.
Bye.
That all went well.
I guess it did go as well as could be expected. Harv had gone head-to-head with one of the most powerful people on Earth, and we all got to walk away keeping our heads. Then he managed to shock his creator so much that said creator actually concentrated on just one project for a few seconds. Both of those, if not firsts, were surely seconds. Thirds at the worst. Sure, the computer hardwired to my brain was writing and drawing comics based on my life, but I wasn't going to think too hard about that. Knowing the way my life usually goes, I was going to have something much bigger to keep my mind occupied, sooner rather than later. I deduced, and that's what you do when you're a PI, you don't just decide, you deduce, that my best course of action would be to actually go online and read the comics Harv was writing about me. Well, about us. I started with the first story, where I tracked down a killer android who was an exact copy of a beautiful blonde new Bollywood actress. The actress android was radioactive and would go nuclear if I didn't track her down in 12 hours or less. The story mirrored one of my real-life adventures without copying it. Lucky for Harv, the real-life story was very hush-hush. If I hadn't lived it, I wouldn't even have known this story was based on it. Harv appeared behind me, looking over my shoulder at my desk cover screen. Yeah, there are times I still like to look at a solid screen, not a holographic projection. What can I say? I'm a throwback.
What do you think of it?
It's, good.
That smile on your face increased by 21%, and your eyes have dilated 36%, which means you liked it.
Yeah, that's what it's good means. It means I liked it.
On a scale of 1 to 100, what do you give it?
Using integers or real numbers?
Zach, for this type of measurement, it doesn't really matter. It's not like there's that much of a difference between 99 and 99.99.
Then I give it a 93.99.
I will round that to a 94. By most scales, that means it's an A.
So you did the art and the writing?
Yes, and the lettering, and the inking, and the coloring. To think you humans would do comics in teams.
We're social creatures.
You do a lot of social slacking.
Zach, the massage therapist you ordered is here.
I didn't order a massage. Normally, an uninvited visitor would worry me, but this one was different. This one was a past client. A very special, very flaxen past client.
That's funny. Checking your calendar, I see no scheduled massage. Carol should have access to that calendar too, yet she didn't seem at all worried. Wait a thousand nanos, is this that Nancy girl from the doomed orbiting space station? How come you still maintain a relationship with her? I am starting to
Harv didn't finish that statement because he froze in place.
and that pretty much confirmed who my visitor was. Natasha, although now everyone knows her as Nancy, walked into my office. I thought you weren't using your powers.
Slowing time is hardly using my powers.
Why are you here?
Massage time.
She opened her arms to give me a clear view of her white t-shirt and shorts.
See, I'm wearing my massage uniform. You should be glad I make house calls.
You don't even have your massage table. A massage table appeared in the middle of my office.
Huh. Dr. Manhattan has nothing on you.
I know that comic book.
Graphic novel. Suddenly, I was lying face down on the table with my shirt and Under Armour off. You know, you could give me a warning when you're about to do that.
Yes, I could.
She started to massage my neck.
You need to relax more.
I am relaxed. She moved down to my mid-shoulders.
Your deltoids are very tight.
So why are you here?
I got a vibe.
You got a vibe?
A bad vibe.
Could you, hone in on this vibe?
I could, but I choose not to. I don't want to alter it with my powers. You just never know.
Well, Harv is creating graphic novels now.
That may have something to do with the vibe, but I don't think it's the main wave. I'm worried.
Why, Nat?
Please, don't call me that or I will turn you into a pile of cheese.
Why, Natasha?
I have an image in my mind of a snowball rolling down a slope, getting faster and faster, deadlier and deadlier.
And this snowball has something to do with me?
Doesn't it always?
Why are you telling me this?
Zach, I just want you to be aware and ready.
I always am, my dear. I always am.
Good.
So that is why I believe the Mets can't win the pennant this year.
I suddenly found myself fully dressed and back in my chair. Had I just imagined that? My neck and shoulders felt really good, so I was pretty certain I hadn't. Still, with me, you never know.
That's weird.
What?
Your body suddenly seemed to have shifted an eighth of a centimeter from where you were a nano ago.
It's called movement, Harv. I'm sure it's in a book somewhere.
But you did not move. Your body just seemed to shift a bit in time and space. A normal person or machine wouldn't have noticed. Have you been involved in any time-space continuum anomalies lately? Of course, you wouldn't know a time-space anomaly if it walked up and mooned you, and then mooned you again 15 minutes earlier.
The rest of the day seemed like it was going to pass uneventfully, even by a normal person's standards. But I knew that wasn't to be the case. Trouble was about to come knocking at my door, or smashing through my ceiling, or ripping through my floor. Yeah, I was once attacked by mole men. It's not like I need to go out and actually look for cases. That'd be like looking for trouble. And trouble usually is a way of finding me without any help. I tried not thinking much about Natasha's warning. I had been in these world-threatening positions before and always come out on top. Or at least, relatively near the top. I didn't see why this time would be any different. I checked a few emails. Most of them could be ignored or answered later. One was from my longtime girlfriend, Electra. She was away on Mars Colony giving a medical lecture on some subject or another that was over my head. Since holographic calls from Mars to Earth were so costly, she was just checking in to make sure all was well before giving her next seminar. For a doctor and top-notch surgeon, the woman certainly was thrifty and traveled a lot. Whenever I mention the thrifty part, Electra notes that credits don't just grow in ATMs. Plus, when you have me as your significant other, you never know when your house or car will be destroyed in a firefight. Therefore, it's best to have a good supply of credits in the bank. Whenever I broach the travel issue, she points out that people try to kill me a lot and she hardly ever complains about that. Then she goes on about how I've used her medical skills and her fighting skills on many an occasion. At which point, I usually try to change the conversation. After that, Electra usually adds that she feels teaching and spreading her knowledge are part of her unwritten job duties. Her debt to the planet, which she says we all save in our own way. Yep, that's Electra. Beautiful, smart, tough, and dedicated. The total package. Some would say her only flaw is me.
Thinking about how Electra is too good for you again, aren't you?
No.
If you say so, Zach. Make yourself presentable. We have a client on the street coming toward us.
Who is she?
Zach, not all of your clients are rich, powerful females. Okay, maybe all of them have been lately, but this one is different.
It was times like this that I wished I had a window. An old-fashioned, actual window in my office. After all, what's the good of having an office on the beautiful New Frisco docks if you can't watch actual tourists stroll by? Watching the images from my security camera doesn't feel the same.
Zach, stop obsessing over not having a real window in your office and get your mind on the client. Most people would rather have a life than a view. Besides, having a computer-simulated virtual window is better. It lets you zoom in and out and do slow-motion replay. Remember my motto, recordings of life are a lot more versatile than real life.
So who is she?
Uh-oh.
What?
Our potential client has been stopped by the tabloid bot paparazzi.
I shot up from the chair and headed outside. Who's the client, Harv?
Don Rickey. You know who he is.
Of course I knew who Don Rickey was. Not only was he my good friend Captain Tony Rickey's brother, Don was a retired pro baseball player. He was a damn fine one, too. In a career spanning the late 2050s to the early 2060s, Don Rickey was a pitcher outfielder for the New York Yankees, the New Frisco Giants, and the New Mexico City Lobos. He had a lifetime batting average of .312 and 592 home runs. Plus, he'd won numerous platinum gloves. After his retirement a few years ago, he made even more money starting a franchise of fitness centers. If memory served me well, this year he was eligible for entry into the Hall of Fame.
What's going on, Zach?
Tony's brother Don is outside being harassed by peabots.
He's the good-looking, macho, rich one?
I've been told some people think that. Carol followed me out the door.
Maybe I can help.
We got outside, and sure enough, Don was less than 100 meters from my office. But he and a tall, well-built blonde were surrounded by what had to be 200 members of the press. These days, most of the press corps, at least the ones who take the photos and ask the real personal questions, are bots. The networks figure it's far easier to replace a machine than a human. And machines complain a lot less. Of course, there were still a few actual humans in the mix, throwbacks, mostly bloggers, who don't trust machines to ask the really annoying questions. Don and the blonde were trying to push their way through the crowd, but they were being bombarded with questions.
Did you ever use SUMS?
Super Ultra Micro Muscle Stimulants, or SUMS, are the hot-button tabloid topic in today's sports. Originally developed for military use, SUMS have recently found their way into a much more profitable area, pro sports. SUMS are chips that, when surgically implanted in a subject's muscles, stimulate and enhance those muscles tenfold. They're highly illegal in sports, which of course doesn't stop some athletes who want to be more than they can be from trying to obtain them. Even after it was revealed that extended use of SUMS leads to extensive muscle damage, those who either wanted to grab for the brass ring, or those who had the ring and didn't want to let it go, kept trying to find ways to sneak SUMS into their bodies and into their sport. It got so bad that now players have to undergo random body scans throughout the course of a season. Still, I knew Don Rickey. He was a hard-working ethics kind of guy. He liked to win and excel, but he needed to do it the old-fashioned way. Through practice, practice, and more practice. In some ways, he was a bit like me, even though he had chosen a much more lucrative field. He got where he'd gotten by working harder than the next guy through sheer persistence. I knew that the SUMS question would set him off.
Who said that? Who asked that question?
A taller bot with WSNNN, that's World Sports News Now Network, rolled forward.
I did.
Don shot a finger toward the bot, waving it in front of its screen.
I never used any sort of enhancements, unless some of you consider 8 hours of practice a day an enhancement. Do you?
All of the bots shook their heads no, or went past his heads. Don backed down. His face turned a lighter shade of red, and the veins in his neck stopped pulsating. A smart bot would have let the matter go, but if tabloid bots were intelligent, they wouldn't be tabloid bots.
I'm not saying you didn't work hard at some point in your career. I'm just asking if you had extra help in the later stages when you got older. If you come clean now, you will feel better.
Do you?
I understand honesty is good for the soul.
You're a tab bot. You know even less about souls than most bots. The bot ignored me. A telescoping camera microphone popped out of its head and snaked in front of Don's face.
Do you have a statement, or should we just assume you are hiding something?
Don, calm down. It's just trying to egg you on so you lose your temper and hit it, giving it a story. These tab bots were even more ruthless than their human counterparts, as they didn't have to worry about pain or death. Being machines, they felt no pain and weren't really alive. Most of their actions were even controlled remotely by a central processing unit, usually located at their home base.
They want a story? I'll give them a story.
The blonde stepped between Don and the bot.
Barbette, I can handle this.
I know you can, dear, but I'm really going to enjoy this.
Barbette stared at the offending bot for a nano. The bot held its ground, mechanical arms crossed against its cylinder chest.
Do your best, lady. We Tabby 2000s are built to withstand Sean Penn clones.
Barbette simply raised an eyebrow. The bot was instantly reduced to a pile of smoking bot parts. Barbette focused her glare on the other bots.
Ooh, this is gonna get ugly.
The woman has style and I love her outfit. She's going to melt the crowd.
What about the organic reporters?
They'll melt too.
Don't worry, they are all clones. I'm sure the networks have many identical copies of each of them.
Before I had a chance to even think about the consequences, let alone attempt to try stopping Barbette, it was over. She'd reduced them all to piles of mush with her glare. I wasn't sure if I was impressed or scared. I watched Barbette as she stood there proudly, chest out, hands on her hips, surveying her damage.
That ought to teach him a lesson, and it will keep prying eyes away for a while.
I inched forward to Don.
That's going to cost you a credit or two to replace all those bots and clones.
Yep, but it is so worth it for the privacy.
Carol moved forward and put a hand on Barbette's shoulder.
Mega impressive.
I probably could have used my hypnotic breath on the organics, but the wilting glare makes a better statement.
I've seen death breath from Shannon Cannon, Sexy Sprocket's ex-bodyguard, but hypno breath? That's a new one to me.
It's kind of like the Thompson girls' pheromones, though much more concentrated and not as icky. One puff of my breath and anybody becomes my personal, assistant.
By assistant, she means devoted slave.
Well, not anybody. Some of us size have especially strong minds.
Oh, really?
Carol didn't answer. Her body hunched over and she had a weird grin on her face. Her eyes were glazed over, but locked on Barbette. To say it was a look of devotion would be a vast understatement.
Your wish is my command.
Your assistant probably shouldn't have disagreed with Barbette. I'm about the only one that can get away with that.
Well, hopefully this will be a learning experience for her.
Don't worry. If Barbette doesn't zap her again, it'll wear off in a day or two.
I take it you came here for something other than melting bots and turning my assistant into your bodyguard's assistant?
Yes, and Barbette is my wife and bodyguard.
Cool. Let's go inside where there'll be fewer distractions. We don't need Barbette melting anything else today.
True. I'm already going to have to sign a lot of autographs to pay for this.
So, what do you need my special services for?
Somebody took something from me, and I want it back.
I'm good, but not that good. I'm going to need more details.
My classic baseball card collection. Many of the cards are over 90 years old. They were printed on real paper. Somebody somehow broke into our home outside New San Diego and stole the entire collection.
Don pulled a piece of paper out of his pocket and slid it across the table to me. Looking at the paper, I saw it was an old-fashioned ransom note written with letters from really old newspaper and magazine articles.
Huh. I have your baseball card collection. I can sell them on the street for 1,000,000 credits, but I will give you a chance to better it. I will contact you in 2 days for your answer. Contact the police and I will destroy the cards. Huh. There's a picture of a 2005 Barry Bonds baseball card.
I don't want to pay to get my own cards back.
I don't blame you. So you want me to track down the Joe or Joes who stole them?
Once you locate him, her, or them, I will let Barbette speak to them. I'm sure we will come to a mutual understanding. I'm good at getting people to do what I want them to do, but I'm not a tracker.
Don motioned toward Carol with his head.
I hope you'll be able to solve this case without the girl.
Can I keep the ransom note?
Oh, of course. But I would like it back. Once this entire messy affair is over, I can probably auction it off.
I thought about this messy affair. Something about it didn't quite click the right mouse button. I'd been to Don's house once before for a barbecue. I knew his security was state of the art. For somebody to break in, they had to have known an inside person. They may have even been an inside person. The thing was, there were a lot of other valuable items in that home. Most of them would have been easier to sell on the open market. Why take just the cards?
I'll have to interview your staff.
I've already done that. We only have 2 human assistants. I questioned them both. They're innocent.
Are you certain?
I'm quite certain. The thief knew our schedules and hit the house when we and our assistants were out. They used some sort of EMP device to deactivate our bots. The rest was easy.
So, you'll find who did this. I'll pay twice your daily rate.
I'll find them.
Don stood up.
We'll send your assistant back when she snaps out of it. Right, honey?
Yes, of course. 1-3 days, tops.
How much of this will she remember?
How much of it do you want her to remember?
Just enough to humble her a little.
Barbette stood up.
Done.
I watched them exit with Carol in tow. Harv appeared next to me.
So what do you think?
Kind of a different case for you. Even I can see no possible way this could relate to the end of the world as we know it.
Yep.
Looks like a refreshing change of pace.
And that's what worried me, despite the fact that I was trying not to let it. Something wasn't sitting right in my gut. I hoped that it was only that instant breakfast burrito I grabbed on my way to the office. I knew the key to tracking down the card-napper blackmailer was in the letter. These days only grandmas and a few connoisseurs use paper for anything. I may be a throwback in many ways to old simpler days, but even I haven't written much of anything on paper for as long as I can remember. I held the letter in my hand, studying it with both my eyes and my fingers. It had a bit of a grainy feel to it. That meant it was real paper made from trees, not sandpaper made from some sort of nanosubstance.
Can you analyze the paper?
Can you tie your shoes?
A beam of light emitted from Harv's eyes, analyzing the paper in my hand.
A simple, sure I can, would have sufficed.
Perhaps for you. Oh, you have a call coming in from Electra from Mars Colony.
Put her through.
In 2D or 3D?
Surprise me, Harv.
Her image will be coming up on the east wall screen.
I just looked at Harv. He pointed to the left.
That one.
I turned to see Electra's image filling up what was apparently my east wall screen.
Hi, babe. How's the teaching going?
Good. I love the students here on Mars. So dedicated, so willing to learn. Where's Carol today?
She's doing some volunteer work for the next few days. Why do you need her?
I need her to relay a message to my mom. Now that Mom is on the World Council, I can't get past her assistance AIDS screener to talk to her. I was hoping Carol could speed the matter up a little.
Is it important?
Well, kind of. I wouldn't make this expensive call if it wasn't. I need to know if Mom wants anything from Mars. The holiday is coming up, and I figured I might be able to get her something different this year.
When I see Carol, I'll relay the message to her.
Is that paper in your hand? Zach, are you going even more old school on me?
I held the paper up by a corner and waved it in front of the screen.
It's for a case.
Electra moved closer to the screen, squinting.
It looks like a ransom note from one of those old 2D black and white movies you like to make me watch.
Exactly. Don Rickey has hired me.
Somebody kidnap one of his kids?
No, nothing that dire.
Does it have anything to do with his first wife and his divorce?
Now that was an angle I hadn't thought of yet. Looking up at Electra's image, I smiled.
That's a possibility.
I'm not just a pretty face.
Hey, you're not telling me anything I don't already know.
My next seminar starts in 10 minutes. I'll leave you to your work. I am sure between you and Harv and Gus, you'll get to the bottom of this.
I am too.
I concur.
We do make a dynamite team.
Especially now that I've helped nudge you in the right direction.
Her image faded from the screen.
Harv? What can you tell me about Don's ex, April Showers?
A holographic blackboard appeared next to Harv, who was now holding an old-fashioned wooden pointer. He tapped the pointer on the blackboard to make sure I was paying attention, even though he knew I was since I asked the initial question. A series of facts about April Showers appeared on the blackboard. Model for Elite Agency, 2050 to 2052. Married to Don Rickey, 2054. Divorced, 2065.
Harv. I pretty much knew all of that.
I am sure you didn't know the exact dates.
True, but the exact dates probably aren't relevant here.
I agree.
See? The gun agrees.
The gun, while adequate for blowing things up, is not the third coming of Sherlock Holmes.
Still, when it's right, it's right. I need more info. Like, why did Don and April get divorced?
No idea.
Where does she live now?
She's unlisted.
Doesn't that seem odd to you?
She is rich, so she doesn't want to be bothered. That's normal.
Yeah, but being unlisted to the public and being unlisted to you are two different things.
Agreed.
But you have nothing for me?
Yes.
Don't you find that odd?
She obviously paid a lot to have her information hidden. Why don't you ask Don Rickey?
Nah. I've learned it's best not to ask a client about their ex-mates unless we have no other options. We still have a few of those left.
Captain Rickey?
Smart computer. Connect me to him, please.
Captain Tony Rickey and I go way back. We grew up playing ball together on the not very mean streets of upstate New York. We both ventured west at around the same time. He to become a law officer, and me to become, well, me. Sometimes he accuses me of coming out here just to make his life more difficult. I believe that's a mostly unfounded accusation. Harv was now sitting at an old-style switchboard and wearing old-fashioned headphones.
One ringy dingy. Too ringy dingy.
Harv, I said please.
I know. It's just, sometimes I process that you think of me as nothing more than your personal operator.
I assure you, Harv, I think of you as much more than my own personal search engine.
Harv crossed his arms and turned the top half of his body away from me. It was a way that only a hologram had of saying, I'm not thrilled with you right now.
Truthfully, Harv, I think of you as my friend. A good friend.
You do?
Actually, Harv, you're one of my better friends.
When you say better, do you mean in abilities or closeness?
Just put me through to Tony.
Coming up now.
Mr. Zack, where do I rate on your list of friends?
I like you too, Gus.
Aw, thanks, Mr. Zack. There's no other person whose sleeve I'd rather be up.
Now, Harv, how are you coming with bringing up Captain Ricky?
Patience, Zack. He's a very busy man.
Oh, please. He's probably on a soy donut break.
Zack, that is just another cop stereotype. We don't all eat soy donuts.
Indeed.
Thank you, Harv.
I have reviewed their donut purchases for the last 12 months, and many of them prefer soy crullers. On occasion, they even splurge and purchase non-soy donuts.
The old-fashioned donuts are only for special occasions, birthdays, big arrests.
Tony, I need some information from you.
Zack, how many times do I have to tell you I can't give you information about any of our cases?
This is about one of my own cases, a new client.
Why do you think I would know anything about one of your clients? And if I did, why would I tell you? Sure, we're friends, but business and protocol have to come first.
This is about your brother's ex-wife.
Which brother and which ex-wife?
Don.
Why did Don hire you?
He has a special job that needs my services.
Is he in danger?
No. You have met Barbette, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Good point. Why didn't he come to me?
Nothing personal, Tony. This is something he needs to keep quiet and off the record.
Zack, I can keep things off the record.
I just stared at Tony, staring back at me.
Okay, I see your point. Why do you need to know about April?
First off, why did they get divorced?
You don't know? No, of course you don't know. April told him she was gay.
Really?
I wouldn't lie about something like that.
Any idea how much of Don's cash she took with her?
None.
None? You mean you have no idea, or she took no cash?
She didn't take a single credit. She said that since it was her fault, she didn't deserve any. Besides, she had a ton of her own money from her modeling days.
That was pretty noble of her. Perhaps too noble. Maybe now she'd changed her mind. Any idea where April lives?
Sorry, Zack. Once she divorced my brother, I stopped paying attention to her. I can give you this much, though. You can bet she's still in New San Diego.
What makes you say that?
She always insisted that the New San Diego sun had the optimal tanning angle for her skin tone.
It also looks like she changed her name.
Yes. Once she discovered her true self, she picked a new name for herself. May Flowers.
Huh. Catchy.
And kind of fitting. Now, do you need any more of my help?
No. You've been a big help, Tony.
You'll get my bill tomorrow.
Tony pushed a button and his image morphed back to Harv. I hoped he was joking about the bill part. Now that Harv and I had a name, well, two names actually, we needed to find an address associated with that name. Harv and I needed to track down May Flowers. Yeah, I know going with the ex-wife may have been taking the easy route to the obvious choice, but common sense dictates that more often than not, when there's trouble, the ex is the first place you should look. Even if it wasn't May Flowers, I was hoping she would point us in the right direction. The matter at hand was tracking Ms. Flowers down. I decided to start by having Harv check the address databases. Sure, it probably wasn't going to be that easy, especially since if you have enough credit, you can have yourself removed from address databases, but it was worth giving it a shot.
Zack, there are currently 3 Mayflowers listed living in the New San Diego area. None of them are living in an area I would associate with our Mayflowers.
So much for that shot. We're going to have to be a bit more creative in finding our Mayflowers. I looked at the ransom paper. At times like this, you never know where inspiration will strike from. Maybe something in the wording would give me a clue. Maybe the letter itself. After all, who sends actual paper letters these days? I'm as much a throwback to the old days as anyone, and even I haven't sent an actual paper anything in years. This ransom note, though, was an ode or sonnet to old-fashioned paper. Not only was it composed on a piece of classic paper, but words had been formed by cutting out letters from old-fashioned paper magazines and newspapers. Nobody has published either of those on old-fashioned paper in years. After all, not only did paper kill trees, but you couldn't scale the fonts to your liking, couldn't make it interactive, couldn't customize the ads, and you certainly couldn't utilize sound and video. Paper is so last century. Except, of course, to the eclectic few who clung to or cherished the old ways, insisting they were purer. These people call themselves paper lovers, but are referred to by others as tree hackers. The strange thing was, Mayflowers didn't strike me as a paper lover or a tree hacker. Not that she was incapable of loving and hating. It just seemed that she would have other more pressing matters to consider, such as the best time to turn while tanning, or which really fancy, really expensive restaurant to eat at. Still, we all have our offbeat quirks. Gates knows I have my share of them. I wasn't one to look a gift quirk in the eye. Here, the magazines were the key.
Harv, I need a list of all the antique magazine dealers in New San Diego.
There are only three of them. The first one is Crazy Carl's Fine Pre-Read Classic Magazines. Their motto is, "Our prices are so low, we practically pay you to take our stuff."
Can you access their sales database and security cameras?
I can. They have their database open for searches for a 1,000-credit charge, or I can do it illegally for free.
Pay the charge, Harv.
Done. No record of May Flowers purchasing anything from them. Scanning their security cameras for the last month. Still no record.
Move on to the next one, buddy.
That would be Dapper Dan's magazine Wonderporium. Their claim is, if we don't got it, you don't want it.
Is their database open for a price?
Zach, they sell used magazines. What do you think?
Just scan them, Harv.
Done. And nada.
That was fast.
I am very efficient.
And the third?
That would be Don Juan's Mega Haven.
What's their database look like?
As far as I can tell, they don't even have one. Apparently, Don Juan is a real throwback. He makes you look like Pluck Dodgers.
That's Buck Rogers.
Whatever. According to Paperfan blog, Don Juan despises new technology of all kinds.
You have his address?
Yes, that much I do have.
Looks like we'll be making a trip to San Diego to talk to Mr. Don Juan.
Oh, joy.
Yay! Road trip!
As much as I would have loved to take a road trip to San Diego, the drive would have taken too long. Instead, I drove my classic cherry red 1973 Mustang to the new Frisco Bayside Teleporter Port, the Port Port, as people like to call it, and teleported to San Diego. There's a port between Frisco and San Diego every 30 minutes, so that just made sense. I'm an old-fashioned guy, but I'm not stupid. When you're racing against the clock, a 50-credit port for less than a second ride beats a 10-hour drive. New San Diego is a very modern, eco-friendly town, even by today's standards. They have mass-market autos to be shared, a concept they borrowed from the moon, all over town. The cars are all interchangeable and stackable. They're computer-driven fly-by-wire. You just get in, state your destination, and your car takes you there. It's that easy. So that's what I did. I didn't even have to give the address. I just asked for Don Juan's Mega Heaven. Within 10 minutes, the car pulled up next to a quaint little brick building in one of the older sections of New San Diego. It was an area where a lot of mega senior citizens live.
You have reached your desired destination.
When I got out of the car, I looked over the building. Nothing out of the ordinary, except for the barred steel door. I walked up and knocked. A little slit in the door opened. I'd forgotten how seriously some paper dealers treat their trade. They see themselves as gatekeepers or guardians of treasures from the past.
What do you want?
I want to browse your merchandise.
You are not one of our regular customers.
I'm a paper connoisseur and collector from up north.
You don't look like a collector.
What do collectors look like?
Older, grayer, richer.
I reached into my back pocket and pulled out something I always keep there. An old $10 bill. I waved the bill in front of the slit. The door popped open, and I walked in. The place was bigger than it appeared on the outside. It was one long, stretched-out room stocked with shelf after shelf after shelf. Some of the shelves were lined with magazines, others with newspapers. They were all quite stuffed.
Are you here to buy or sell?
Buy. I walked past him.
We have a fine selection of classic magazines, some dating back from 2011. We even have fresh blank paper here. The good stuff made from trees.
I turned to the man.
Are you Don Juan?
No. I am Don Jose, his brother.
He pointed at a short, darker-skinned man standing at a counter in the middle of the room.
That would be Don Juan.
I walked over toward Don. He was reading a 2012 version of Popular Mechanics, not really paying much attention to me.
Don Juan?
Yes.
I'd like to talk to you.
So talk fast.
I adjusted my wrist communicator and pointed it toward Juan.
Hot? Show Juan me flowers.
Harv appeared in my wrist communicator screen.
Do you mean the actual flowers or the woman?
The woman, Harv.
A holographic image of Mayflowers projected out from my communicator.
Pretty woman.
Have you seen her?
I see a lot of people.
Is she a client?
We never tell who our clients are. Now I am asking you politely to leave before I have my brothers throw you out.
Looking past Juan without really taking my eyes off of him, I noticed another man coming toward me. This man looked a lot like Jose. They had to be twins. I couldn't see him, but my gut told me Jose was also coming up behind me.
I don't want trouble.
Then leave fast.
But I need to find this woman fast.
Sir, this is not some kinky dating service.
I'm not here for a date. I need to find this woman.
Jose, Diego, escort this man out. Pronto!
The two brothers each grabbed one of my arms. I didn't want to hurt them, but I also didn't want to leave without the information I needed.
Zack, I can shock them without hurting you or them.
You can?
Yes, they are both grabbing you in such a way that I can run electric current through your underarmor.
You can do that?
If you read the memos Dr. Poole and I sent you, you would know of this enhancement.
Diego and Jose had now started dragging me slowly toward the front door.
Do it!
Jose and Diego instantly pulled their hands off me, each shaking the hand they'd held me by.
Ay, caramba!
I quickly moved back toward Juan. I pushed aside the magazine he'd had in front of his face. Then I stopped in my tracks. He was holding a gun, a Colt 44, and it was aimed right at me.
Sir, please don't make me shoot you. I can't have blood splattered all over my fine paper.
I just need to find May Flowers because I believe she cut up some of your magazines to make an old-fashioned ransom note.
Excuse me?
I believe she's using it to blackmail somebody. Juan just glared at me. Here, let me show you the paper. I slowly moved my hand in my back pocket. I grabbed the piece of paper, unfolded it, and showed it to Juan. He leaned closer to get a good look.
That Philistine!
So she did purchase magazines from you. He put the gun down on the desk.
Yes, and that piece of paper is also one of mine.
I don't suppose you make deliveries.
I don't, but Diego and Jose do. I am a full-service paper merchant.
Do you have May's address? Juan reached under the desk where he was sitting and pulled out a small box. Opening it, he revealed that it was filled with index cards. He started leafing through the cards, then stopped.
I do.
May I have it?
It will cost you.
I figured. How much?
That old bill you showed my brother. Is it real?
It is, but it's not for sale. Juan's eyes lowered. I will give you 2,000 credits for the address. That's more than the bill is worth. Juan looked me in the eyes and held out his hand.
Deal.
I went to shake his hand, but noticed he didn't want to shake. He just had a credit transfer device in his hand. I pointed my wrist communicator at the device.
Harv, transfer 2,000 credits to Juan.
Done.
Juan pulled the machine away. He looked at his view screen. His smile grew. He reached into the little box, pulled out the card, and handed it to me.
Here, take it.
I can have my computer make a copy of it.
No. She is no longer a customer. In fact, she is dead to me. Anybody that would deface my beautiful paper like this.
I took the paper and turned toward the door.
That worked out well.
It did.
Yeah, nobody even tried to really kill you.
Yeah, that was a pleasant change. Of course, the day was still young.